Hi, I'm Dustin Roberts, your host, and I want to welcome you to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. And today, Rabbi Schneider is going to explain God's view of justice. The term justice gets thrown around a lot today. From poetic justice to social justice activism, people all over the world have a lot to say about it. But what does the Bible teach? That's our topic today as Rabbi Schneider helps us decrypt the book of Revelation. Now, a lot of people think that Revelation is a doom and gloom kind of book, but the reality is this book is filled with large amounts of hope. So let's get started and join Rabbi as he shares a fresh perspective on Revelation chapter 16.
We're trying to understand how and why God would pour forth such severe judgments upon the earth that we read about in the book of Revelation. There are 21 judgments that God pours on the world because of sin that we read of in the book of Revelation. The first 14 of these judgments come from seven seals that Jesus breaks and then seven trumpets that are blown in heaven. These first 14 judgments, I believe, are actually designed to lead people to repentance, that they'll see all the horrific things that are happening in the world and all the plagues that are falling upon mankind. And as a result of that, they would turn to God, because God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But by the time the last of the 14 judgments falls, beloved, it's too late for mankind to repent. Everybody that would have repented has already repented. So the only thing that's left now is for God to punish sin upon the earth, to destroy those that would not repent, and to cleanse the earth so we can establish a new order, a new heavens, and a new earth. The final set of judgments are called the seven bowls of wrath, and these seven bowls of wrath, once again, are designed to destroy those that would not receive God's mercy. Many today that consider themselves Christians do not believe this. They don't believe that a loving God would pour forth such tremendous judgments on the world, that the sun would scorch people, that their skin would be covered with boils, that there'd be darkness and death and pain, and that there'd be an earthquake that would be unlike anything the world has ever experienced before. And they say, how could a loving God do such things? But beloved, what these that think that fail to understand is that God is not just loving, hear me now, He's also just. We have to understand that God's love cannot tolerate sin, because sin destroys His creation. Sin destroys human beings that were created in His own image. Sin defiles and corrupts, and it robs God of His glory. And so God cannot put up with it forever. This is why eventually sin has to be punished and why the earth has to be cleansed of it. In fact, Peter tells us that it's not harshness that causes God to pour out these final judgments in the book of Revelation, but rather we see instead that God has been waiting patiently for thousands of years for man to repent. He wants people to be saved. But the time comes in Revelation 16 that there is no time left. Again, God's patience has run out. Now, I read for you from the book of Shemot, the book of Exodus, chapter number 34, to me, one of the most profound passages in the entire Word of God. The reason, beloved ones, this is so profound is because in Exodus 34, Moses meets God. I mean, I'm telling you, Moses truly walked into a place in the Spirit that he knew exactly who God was, because God revealed it to him. Moses in Exodus 34 is standing in a cleft of a rock. He's praying because he had been asking God, God, I feel insecure. Lord, you say that I found favor in your sight, but Father, show me. Father, you said you would go with me when I lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, but Abba, I need more assurance. Show me, help me. So finally, God says to Moses, Moses, I want you to go over there in the cleft of the rock. I want you to call upon my name. And when you call upon my name, Moses, the Lord said to him, I'm going to come to you. And then the Lord said, and I'm going to proclaim my name to you. When we hear that phrase, the Lord saying, I'm going to proclaim my name, we think of something perhaps in the natural that Moses is just going to hear God's name. But that's not what God was saying. What God was saying to Moses is, Moses, when I proclaim my name to you, I'm going to fill you with revelation, with revelatory light. Your entire being is going to be filled with the knowledge of who I am. Moses didn't just hear the name with his ears or mind. Moses was filled with a knowing who he was. He was literally filled with God. So Moses goes and he calls upon the name of the Lord. Listen what happens, Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord passed by before him. And you'll notice there, the word Lord, it's capitalized, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Anytime you see God's name in all caps in the Hebrew Bible, Lord, it's actually his personal name that he revealed to Moses. When he said to Moses, Moses, your forefathers knew me as El Shaddai. They knew me as God Almighty. But he said, Moses, my personal name, my sacred name is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh-Yahweh. It's God's personal name. It's his covenant name. So what actually happened there in the original, it says, then Yahweh. Again, God is more than just a force. He's a literal person and he has a name. So God actually speaks his name to Moses here. It says, then Yahweh passed by before him and proclaimed Yahweh, Yahweh God. He says, merciful and gracious. So the first thing that we learn about who God is, who Yahweh is, who the God and Father of Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ is, the first thing that we realize is that his nature is merciful. It's the first word that he uses to describe himself. Yahweh God, the Lord God is, first of all, listen, church, merciful and gracious. What does merciful mean? It means showing favor. Grace is showing favor to one that doesn't deserve it. He's a good God. He delights in loving us. He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger. He's not an angry God that loses his temper, you know, in a second. No, he's slow to anger, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. Listen, forgiving. This is who God is. Merciful, tender-hearted, full of goodness, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. But then notice what the next thing God reveals to Moses. But who will by no means clear the guilty. He will not leave, beloved ones, the guilty go unpunished. So what we learn here in this most profound revelation of who God actually is in the entire Torah, in the entire Old Testament, is that God is first merciful, but he's second of all, just. And so we have to understand his ways and his actions from these two perspectives that describe his essence. He's first of all merciful. He desires to show mercy. That's why he sent Jesus. If he just wanted to sow justice, he would have never sent Jesus. He just would have destroyed mankind and wiped him out from the very beginning. Every time somebody sinned for the first time, God would have just killed him if he was just, because the Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. But because God is merciful and long-suffering and patient, he doesn't just immediately destroy people when they sin, but he gives them an opportunity to turn to him through his son, because his son died in their place and paid the penalty that they would have had to pay. Jesus died for your sin. So because God loves us and he's merciful, he's calling to us, come to Jesus and be saved. Jesus said the son came to save mankind. And so God is merciful and he's just. So by the time we get to Revelation, to the seven bowls of wrath, God has called out to the world for over 2,000 years to turn to his son. The gospel's already been preached to the entire world. The Holy Spirit has knocked on men's heart to be saved. And everybody that would have already has. The only ones that are now left have said no to God. Their hearts are permanently hardened. So there's nothing left for God to do, listen, but to show his justice. And that's what you see happening here. So I want you to understand, God is a just and a loving and a merciful God. These that these judgments are falling upon are those that have rejected God. and there is no place left for God to go with them, but to destroy them because he's cleansing the world of sin, because he's a just God. The wages of sin is death. It has to be punished. And so this puts things, hopefully, for you in perspective.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back.
Beware. Your family is under attack. Bombarded with the acceptance of same-sex marriage. Gender fluidity taught to our children in school. Government-funded drag queen story hours. And the rainbow has been hijacked. When will it end? Enough is enough. Discover the real truth about God's rainbow. It's time to take the rainbow back. Visit takingtherainbowback.com.
When you give to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, it allows us to spend more time focusing on what really matters. And for us, that means getting God's word out to as many people as possible. And right now, at this very moment, there is someone who needs to hear Rabbi's practical biblical teaching. And your financial gift is what makes that possible. To donate, go online to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Now, to conclude today's message, here's Rabbi Schneider.
I want to just say this in reference to sin being punished and the wages of sin being death. You know, so much of the, quote, gospel that we're hearing today, church, is not the true gospel. If we want to know what the true gospel is, we have to look at Paul's book of Romans, because the book of Romans is the most complete theological exposition of the way of salvation. And did you know that the first three chapters of the book of Romans are all about sin and how the whole world is guilty before God? Paul takes three full chapters in the book of Romans talking about how men on earth suppress the truth in unrighteousness because their conscience bears them witness as to what's right and what's wrong. Because God's beauty and his glory is seen in what he's made. It's seen in creation. And yet, even though the creation itself bears witness that there's a God, men choose to harden their heart, suppress the truth, and they're now on earth denying that there's a God. And the Jewish people, in addition, they have the law. God gave them the law. They were told what was right and wrong in the written law of God. So all men, Paul says, are without excuse. Paul concludes and he says, all of us are guilty, that we've all missed the mark, that there's none righteous, no, not one. Paul talks about the poison that comes out of mankind's mouth, the evil words that come out, the slander, the gossip. He said, poison and asp is in their tongue. Paul's whole point in the first three chapters of Romans is to say to the world, you are guilty before God. You need to recognize you're guilty. But his reason for showing man that they're guilty is so that he can prepare their hearts for the good news. The good news is that even though mankind is guilty and deserving of death, deserving of the punishment of sin, even though the whole world is guilty and deserving of this because God is just, Paul goes on to say, but he's also merciful. And mercy triumphs over judgment. And so because God's merciful, he sent his son. So turn to him. But you see, the gospel that's being preached today oftentimes doesn't tell men that they're guilty. It doesn't tell men that without Jesus, they would go to hell. The gospel that's being presented today is so oftentimes just speaking to people's, quote, felt needs. You know what? If you turn to Jesus, you'll have a better relationship with people. If you turn to Jesus, you'll be more healthy in your body. If you turn to Jesus, you're going to prosper more with your finances. And praise God, Jesus is a complete savior. But the true gospel doesn't begin with simply telling people how Jesus is going to make them happier, healthier, and wiser. Beloved, the true gospel begins by showing that God is a just and holy God and that mankind is guilty before him because of sin and deserving of death and hell. But because God loves us, he sent his son. And this, beloved, should humble us and prepare us to receive the Savior. Listen, Jesus died on the cross, hear me, friends, for our sins. The Bible is very clear on this, that he took our sin in his own body on the tree. So, you know, when we know Jesus, God becomes our happiness. Jesus said, I'm going to give you my spirit. He'll become within you a well of living water that you'll hunger and thirst no more. Jesus becomes our treasure. But make no mistake, God is a just and sin angers him and it destroys his creation and robs him of his glory. And so as we're reading the book of Revelation, God is not upset because people aren't happier, healthier, or wiser, which is oftentimes the themes of the supposed gospel that's being preached today, which in many respects isn't the full gospel and the real gospel. When the judgments fall in the book of Revelation, it's because God is angry about sin. It's because man is not repented. It's because man has not honored him as God. It's because man has not laid down his life to follow Jesus. It's because men are not living for him and his glory. They're living for themselves and their glory. And even many that think they're Christians, all they're doing is making Jesus like a magic genie, you know, like they rub the genie bottle and, you know, out comes the genie and they just ask the genie for their wishes. They're wanting to use Jesus to just make themselves happier. They're wanting to use Jesus to just answer their prayers so they can be filled with their own selfish desires. This is not the true gospel. But the word tells us at the end of the age, there's going to be a false gospel that'll be preached. Jesus warned us. He said, before my return, there'll be many false teachers that will come, many false prophets. And they'll even do signs and wonders, Jesus said, to mislead, if possible, even the elect. So be forewarned, beloved ones. The issue that God is dealing with in the book of Revelation and the reason these judgments have come, the reason that Jesus died on the cross was to save us from our sins. The scripture tells us that when Mary was pregnant, the prophetic word came over her and it said, you shall call his name Yeshua. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We need to go back to start preaching the real gospel again, that mankind is guilty before God because of sin, that we need to repent. We need to turn to him. We need to forsake our sin. We need to die to ourselves, and we need to follow Jesus. We need to pick up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him. Help us, Father God, in Jesus' name. Paul said again, if somebody comes preaching a different gospel other than this gospel, let that gospel be a curse. Let him be a curse. Beloved, we need to get back to the fundamentals of the scriptures and get away from all this teaching and preaching that's just designed to tickle people's ears, to play to their felt needs. Beloved, our felt need should be the fact that we need to be right with God. He became sin, speaking of Jesus. He that knew no sin became sin in our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, as I conclude today, I want you to hear this. We just got done talking about the fact that God is first of all merciful, but he's just. And we see this evidenced in what Jesus did. You see, if God just forgave people without punishing sin, where would the justice be? If the child molester and the murderer and the rapist and the terrorist and those that have caused such harm and evil in the world simply got away with no consequences for their actions, God just simply said, you know what? It's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Where would God's justice be? He wouldn't be just. In other words, if the murderer ended up in the same place as the person that tried to live for God their whole life when they died without Jesus, where would the justice be? But in Jesus, we see God's mercy and justice. God's justice is fulfilled in Jesus because Jesus died on the cross and he took the penalty that we should have had to take. He died for our sins. He was whipped. He was lashed. He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Then he descended to hell, to the lower parts of the earth. Jesus paid the price. God's justice was fulfilled. But even greater, God's mercy was fulfilled. Because Jesus died in our place, beloved, God can extend his mercy and his kindness, his grace and his favor to you and I. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart right now. Beloved, I want to encourage you, if you don't know him, get on your knees, ask him to forgive you and save you. If you do know him, beloved, thank him for how precious he is. Give him your love and give Father God glory.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi Schneider will continue this study tomorrow, so please keep listening. The title of this series is Decrypting the Book of Revelation, and today's message was called Mercy and Justice. And well, with the world the way it is today, it's easy to get caught up trying to support all the little one-off issues that need to be fixed. But it's really important that we focus our energies and our efforts on the things that matter the most, like doing the work of the Father right here on the earth. And because during these last days, people are going to become more and more desperate, God gave us His Word so that we, His children, can understand the sign of the times and stand in faith. And if you'd like to study this topic more on your own, make sure to go online to our website and download your copy of Rabbi's study guide for today's message. You'll find it at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. We're getting ready to kick off Shavuot or Pentecost tomorrow night, beginning at sundown. And if you want to learn more about this special set-apart holiday that's God-ordained, visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com. You know, these resources and this daily program, they're made available in part because people like you stand with us in prayerful partnership and by giving a financial gift. And to share more about that, let's turn our attention back to Rabbi for just a moment.
Many of us have heard the principle of throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And of course, what that means is we throw out the whole thing rather than keeping what's good. The reason I'm bringing this up is that some of us have forsaken honoring the Lord with our tithes and our offerings because we feel there's been those in the past that have tried to manipulate us for money. I simply want to say this, beloved, let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Honoring the Lord with our tithes and offerings goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. And today, the scripture tells us, if there are ministries that are blessing us and feeding us, we ought to support those ministries with our finances. Number one, to show thankfulness. Number two, to honor the Lord. And number three, so they can continue to be a blessing to the world. And those of you that sow your finances into ministries that are blessing the world, you're going to be rewarded for it. Beloved, I want to ask you for your help, and I want to thank you in advance for your love and sacrificial support.
If God is leading you to give a gift of support today, you can honor that call by going online to give at discoveringthejewishjesus.com or send your financial donation in the mail when you write to us at Discovering the Jewish Jesus, P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan 49228. As our way of saying thank you for your generous financial gifts, we'll send you Rabbi Schneider's Message of the Month, along with our current newsletter. And for those who are new monthly partners, we'll have an additional gift of appreciation, an authentic shofar that's made in Israel. The shofar is just one of the ways we express our gratitude for every single new monthly partner. Then, before we wrap up our time today, don't forget that we'd love for you to receive our free daily devotional tomorrow. So sign up today at rabbidevotion.com. And now let's close today's program titled Mercy and Justice with a special blessing from Rabbi.
In the Old Testament book of Numbers, we find a blessing God speaks over His children through Moses and Aaron. It carries the idea of favor and expression. Open your heart to the Spirit and the Word today and receive Father's goodness into your life with confidence.
Yavarechech Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh Panav Elecha Vihunecha Yisa Yahweh Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with His countenance. And the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you, and shalom.
I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Be sure to join us next time when Rabbi Schneider explains the timing of the rapture. So be listening Thursday to Discovering the Jewish Jesus.